Hey, what's going on, Viking season ticket owners and sponsors and everything? I'm Paul Allen, play-by-play guy for the Minnesota Vikings, welcoming you to this exclusive only to season ticket owners and sponsors conference call, which is going to feature team president Mark Wilf, Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, and eventually Lester Bagley, the vice president of public affairs. We're going to chat out a lot of things in exclusive fashion involving the Vikings, and we're very excited for the preseason. The first preseason game is August 10th against the San Francisco 49ers, and everybody listening right now, being exclusive to this call as season ticket owners, we can share a secret with you that we are going to be doing something different this year with the Vikings Entertainment Network. When you listen to games and yours truly, along with Pete Bursich, call games on FM 100.3, The Fan, the flagship for Vikings football, you're also going to be able to watch that call on Care 11. We're going to become one of two teams in the NFL to do games in simulcast mode. So yours truly and Pete Bursich will be calling the games on television and radio. That's what we think is kind of a big announcement that'll be coming out a little later today, after the conference call, I believe. And it's going to start with the San Francisco 49ers preseason game August 10th. Now, what we're going to get accomplished today is just update you on the status of the Minnesota Vikings and let you know how we think the season's going to go, how players are progressing through minicamp, up to training camp, up to the preseason. And first, we welcome in team president Mark Wilf. Mark, how you been?
Okay, PA, good to be with you. And all the fans, thank you for being on the call and all your support.
Thanks a lot for doing it, and certainly a different offseason this year, sir, with no lockout and the organized team activities after the rookie camp, into the mini camp, up to training camp. Certainly a lot more normal this year than last year, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of good things happen on the field. I know Rick will touch a little bit on that, and I know we've said it in the media, but I want to just say personally while we're on the call to thank all the season ticket owners and sponsors for all their help in helping us get this stadium issue resolved once and for all, and we're very excited about that, and I think the fans really played a big part in it. And one of the things I just want to let everyone know here is week one, we're going to be honoring with the Yaller Horn ceremony, which we have before every game. We're going to be honoring the fans who really were instrumental in this. So thank you to the fans, and we're excited about the season ahead.
And you know what, Mark? Speaking of the fans, you press *3 on your dial pad, and you'll be able to ask Mark or Rick Spielman and eventually Lester Bagley a question. Once again, *3, and you'll be able to present private, exclusive questions for either team president Mark Wilf or the general manager Rick Spielman. It is *3. Ask a live question, and you can do that during the course of this one-hour session. Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now. Good afternoon, Mr. Spielman. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on, and I just want to reiterate what Mark Wilf said, is how much we appreciate our fans, not only for the support in getting the stadium done, but the support of our football team, because without your support, we wouldn't be where we are today.
What did you think of minicamp?
Very excited about what we're able to accomplish this offseason, going through our OTAs and our mini camps. It's changed a lot from in the past with the new rules in place with the CBA, but our coaches did a great job and really worked hard, and we have a lot of new faces on this football team, a lot of young faces, and it gave our coaches the opportunity to work with those guys as they get implemented into the NFL.
Mark, are you excited to watch Christian Ponder beginning August 10th in that San Francisco preseason game?
You know, he's really taken a hold just around the building and the way he's acting, and he's really now taking the helms of this thing. And I think, again, it's going to be a process, but he's definitely developing, and Rick can speak to it as well. But during the off season, just seeing how it's coming slower and slower to him, that things are slowing down to him. I mean, last year not having the lockout and just throwing right into the fire as we did, I think the fans are going to see a nice step up, and we still think the world of Christian. We're very excited.
And Rick, I could ask you what's different about Christian this offseason compared to the walk-up to the regular season last year, but it would take an hour because he didn't have an offseason last year. And really, for all the rookies, not only the quarterbacks, but the rookies, and even Leslie Frazier in his first full year as coach, Bill Musgrave, his first full year as offensive coordinator here, there were a lot of disadvantages for a team like the Vikings into the season. So I guess the way I would put it is, looking at the way the offseason went last year, granted, you guys got off to, I believe, a 1-4 start, but a lot of those games were really, really close, despite having some disadvantages. Was that encouraging to you?
Well, you know, there was a lot of games last year where I think 7 or 8 games where we lost by 7 points or less, and just some of the things that happened on the field that didn't go our way. But I know this year with Leslie entering into his second year as a full-time head coach, with having an offseason, with Bill Musgrave and our new defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, those guys getting to actually evaluate and understand the skill set of each player that we have, they got a chance to see a Harrison Smith and a Matt Khalil and a Josh Robinson, and even some of our draft picks from last year, like a Stephen Burton and some of those other players that have really taken a step forward. But I think the key to success is the coaches getting the ability to put their hands on those players, to teach the players our scheme. But the coaches did a great job as far as understanding each player's positives and how do you utilize those strengths into that scheme and adjusting the scheme accordingly to the strength of our players.
Football-related questions for Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings, by pressing *3 on your dial pad. You can also, of course, ask a team president, Mark Wilf, a question. But if you have football-related questions up to training camp, again, we're very proud to present the exclusive only to season ticket owners and sponsors conference call, and we're going to be doing this until 1:30. So if you want to ask any question about Christian Ponder, Adrian Peterson's rehab, some of the new players on the team, what we all deem to be an outstanding rookie crop that Rick drafted, beginning with Matt Khalil. All you need to do is press *3 on your dial pad, and you can ask questions anytime now. Let's go first to season ticket owner Richard Robinson. Richard, welcome to the call. How you doing?
Pretty good. Having fun.
What's your question, sir?
I was wondering, Peterson doing
coming along? The question is how is Adrian Peterson coming along off that rehab?
Yeah, Adrian is a different type of player where he is so unique in his body build and the way he recovers from injury and the way he was aggressively attacked his rehab and where he's at right now. Our anticipation going into training camp is to see where he's at. Hopefully he'll be ready for that first opener against Jacksonville. We want to be very smart with him, not push it till he's 100% healthy and he feels 100% confident in that need to go out there and do what he has to do. So, but everything he's done this offseason, the way he's attacked his rehab, how hard he's pushed himself, we almost had to pull him back some because of how hard he's been working. So we're very excited where Adrian comes back, and I know in his mind and his mindset right now is to be even a better player coming off that than he was before he got the injury.
Maybe a question, Rick, more for Leslie, but you're the general manager of the team, so obviously you can answer every question. Do you anticipate Adrian being on a pitch count early?
That will be determined, I think, once we get into training camp, once we see where Adrian's healthy. You know, what list that Adrian goes on. He may start out on a PUP list. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
So once we get to training camp and determine where that is and determine where he is, Coach Frazier, Coach Musgrave, those guys will determine whether he's on a pitch count or if it's Adrian ready to go. But I also know that we feel very confident in Toby Gerhardt and him and what he did for us last year when Adrian got hurt and how hard he's worked. And to watch him move around in these OTAs and in these mini camps, we feel very confident we got a very good running back in Toby as well.
But there are a lot of fantasy football fans who are season ticket owners, and they want to know if they should take Adrian in the top 10. And if they take him in, like, the top 5 and then he gets 10 carries a game, they're going to blame this on me in the conference call. So you can shape upper Midwest fantasy football right now.
Everybody's going to have to wait. So that draft may have to be put on hold for a while.
Hey, Mark, what excites you most about the team into preseason August 10th?
I think, you know, we have more competition for spots than we ever have had. You had a lot of guys in set positions. Some of them were starting to get older and so forth. We have a lot of young talent, and I'm excited from the fact that training camp this year, we're gonna have people that we may not even have fully recognized step up. I mean, you always have surprises. You always have guys that step up and say, okay, I can play at this level, and they rise their game. I mean, they really haven't done major hitting at this point, obviously, with the new CBA and the new work rules and so forth. So when we get to training camp, I think the fans and even ourselves are going to be pleasantly surprised at the competition, and hopefully we'll look forward to seeing everyone down there in Mankato. It's always an exciting time of year.
We have a phone call after pressing *3 for the general manager, Mr. Spielman. Anthony Wright, welcome.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Anthony, what's going on?
How are you?
Not too much. Great. I'm enjoying the call. I'll get to my question for you guys. I was actually curious why so many of the contracts signed in this offseason were one-year deals, example being Jerome Simpson.
A couple of the guys that we had signed this offseason, we were real, I would say, just honed in on specifically criteria we were looking for. And some of the guys that we assigned, except for John Carlson, were guys that were on one-year contracts. But what our intention was, you know, like a Jeff Schwartz, for example, signed a one-year contract, who's going to be competing at right guard with Brandon Fusco, was to, and he was coming off a hip surgery, to see how they compete, to see if they fit in. And what we're going to do and going forward, and we have done in the past, is be very aggressive as far as if guys are the type of guys we want here that are not only performing on the field, but doing everything that we're going to require or that we expect our players to be off the field, then we'll look at locking them into long-term contracts. The other thing we wanted to do was we knew we had to add a volume of players, so we kind of put that that wide fish net out there to get a lot of young UFAs that were just hitting in the prime of their career, but we also knew we were going to have a lot of draft picks this year and ended up with 10 draft picks, knowing that they're going to contribute some way, shape, or form this year. So as we put this team together, we're trying to get as many quality bodies as we can, and then as we hone in this roster and get down to our 53, we'll pick the best 53 players and working with Coach Frazier and our coaching staff, but then guys that we really identify, we'll try to lock into long-term deals.
Once again, for those of you just joining.
One other thing to point out is there's a planning component to all this. You know, with the new CBA last year, we want to keep the ammunition in our pockets as best we can. We have Rob Brzezinski, who manages our cap, and that's an important component that fans, I know, understand it. But I think we're in a very good position cap-wise, and we want to maintain that going forward. We want to be competitive. We want to win now, but we have a 5 to 10 year planning on this as well so that we stay competitive and keep able to sign our long-term stars as well as we go through this.
So we're going to try to win the Super Bowl the first year we go into the new stadium is what you're saying.
We're going to try to win a Super Bowl.
No, we're winning it this year, man.
The voices of Mark Wilf, team president, co-owner, Rick Spielman, general manager. I'm Paul Allen. For those of you just joining us, welcome season ticket owners and sponsors to this exclusive live Vikings fan forum. Press *3 on your dial pad if you would like to ask Messrs. Wilf or Spielman questions. And we have one right now. For Rick Spielman, it is Stephen Harrison, season ticket owner Stephen Harrison. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, what's up? What up, PA?
Hey, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen, how you doing today?
Good. Mine's along the lines of Percy Harvin. Did he leave mini camp happy? I mean, media blew everything out of proportion. I worry about that guy.
Yeah, no, we know what Percy Harvin does for us on the field. He's an extremely talented football player. He's a big part of this organization. There are things that you're going to have to deal with players, with different things. We never discuss our business out in public. We'll handle that internally. And we expect Percy, as well as everybody else, to be down there at training camp and ready to go and accomplish the goals we're going to set forward this year.
Okay, thank you very much. Obviously a very important part of the team. You know, and on the radio show earlier today, Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, and yours truly were talking about Jerome Simpson. And just how excited you could see Christian Ponder and so many members of this offense were to have that free agent on the team during the organized team activities and through minicamp. You know, and a lot of people, if they follow it closely around here, they probably read between the lines and realized that when he came out of Coastal Carolina, you were a fan of his. He ends up going to Cincinnati. And, you know, a lot of people just pretty much remember him for leaping over Darrell Washington end of the season in the perfect 10 landing. Very, very fast receiver. But the intriguing thing here, and I know you're going to follow this closely, Rick, is how he's going to be included in the mix during training camp and the preseason, given he's going to miss the first three games. You obviously want to implement him in because he's going to help change games. But how do you know if you've gone too far or if it's not enough?
That's a balance that I know Leslie and Bill Musgrave will discuss, because you want to keep him in shape. You want to keep him going in the offense because you know he's going to be a major part of our offense after those first three games. But you also have to get the guy, whoever that player is, that is going to have to play in those first three games ready. So there is a fine balance on how they're going to divide the reps, who's getting what reps in practice. He's still learning the new offense because this is a new scheme for him. But again, I can't go back and tell you how important that offseason was, and to have him here since he signed, and he hasn't left the building since he's been here, and continually worked, you know, in the film room, worked on the field, and the upbeat and energy that he brings. And you can tell right off the bat when he's out there on the field, the passion that we talk about, what we want in our football players, he brings that to the table. So, and that caught your eye, not only his ability as a receiver, but his ability, what he does as far as bringing passion and energy and stuff. And he's been nothing but a great, great person since he's been here, working hard, setting an example, doing things the right way. So the whole part was to get guys like, you know, a Jerome Simpson and a John Carlson, and to get as many offensive weapons as we can to get around our young quarterback so this can grow and those guys can play together hopefully the next 3, 4, 5 years. And that's where you see the success, especially in offenses in the league, is the offenses that are together under the same offensive coordinator, running the same system, and understanding how each other is working, what each other is doing on each play.
Hey, Mark, as team president, you have to be very proud that in the offseason you had 95-98% inclusion, you know, including some of your best players, obviously, here, like Adrian Peterson rehabbing here, likewise for Percy Harvin. And, you know, in doing the radio show on the flagship, John Sullivan and Charlie Johnson, two of your starting offensive linemen, weekly they would tell me how proud they were that the entire offensive line grouping, starting with Matt Khalil after he was drafted, they always were at the facility trying to figure out how to make the team better next year and get all their schemes down.
Well, I have to, you know, commend obviously Rick and Coach Frazier setting the kind of tone which we want as ownership. We want to make sure we have the kind of team that our fans and the community can be proud of, that shows up, punches the clock, does the work, and gets wins. And I think we've set the tone. We lost, obviously, last offseason to get that. And having this offseason to develop that culture and have everyone in the building, I think it's going to pay off. I really think it's going to be – we're going to surprise people. People in the so-called the knowledge base don't give us a lot of chance, and we're fine with that. We know in the building what we have. We have a lot of talent that can grow here. And I just think that I want to tell the fans that Coach Frazier and Rick are setting the right tone in the building, and it's going to show on the field.
A phone call, Blodgett Gates. Hello, Blodgett.
Well, you got the name backwards, but that's fine.
Hello, Gates.
How are you?
Good.
Say, I got a question about the health of Jasper Brinkley and the fact, you know, he would be a new middle linebacker for us anyway, which brings little risk to it. And then, at least as reported by the press, his health is supposed to be a bit in question. And so I'm wondering, what are the thoughts on if he's not able to start at the beginning of the season, or his lack of experience at middle linebacker would require us to go to plan B? I'm just wondering what that might be.
Excellent question.
Yeah, Jasper right now is, you know, the hip surgery he had, there's no issues with the hip. He had a little bit of a groin strain that he did during our OTA, so we just wanted to monitor that and make sure that he was completely healthy as we headed into training camp. We were very excited about Jasper, where he was headed his rookie year. He had to step in and play for EJ at the end of that season and really showed a lot of promise. And then I know last year he missed with the hip surgery, and that is fully recovered. So we're expecting a lot of big things from him. We signed a Marvin Mitchell, who's played at Miami last year, who's a backup, what we call a strong side linebacker and a middle linebacker. We know Aaron Henderson, who will resign, can both play strong side and middle linebacker. We're excited about Adi Cole, the kid we drafted in the seventh round from North Carolina State, and what he has shown through the preseason so far as we get ready to head into training camp. And even just experimenting a little bit with the flexibility of Everson Griffin, both being able to play defensive end and maybe filling some linebacker. So we got a lot of questions there, but we think we have enough flexibility because the type of linebackers we bring in, we try to bring in guys that can play multiple positions, just not pegged as a Mike or a strong side or weak side linebacker. The other thing that we always do is we always have our short list on potential guys that are out there. The one thing that we do have an advantage going into this year as we come down to the cutdowns is in the preseason and I think up till the second week in October, we're third on a pecking order in the claiming list. So if a player gets released, St. Louis and
Indy
are the two, and then we're third. So if there's a player out there that we like, we'll be third in line to go ahead and claim that player. So that'll be something we'll look to take advantage of as players get released.
Well, that is until you trade the pecking order pick to Cleveland, and then we get seven pecking order picks later in the pecking order, correct? Arif Hassan, welcome.
Hi. It's actually Arif, but no worries. Thanks for inviting us to the fan forum.
Hi.
My question is actually about Everson Griffin. You've been mentioning, and I've been hearing some buzz about him switching to linebacker, and I was wondering, what did you see that made you comfortable in his ability to play all aspects of linebacker play, especially coverage?
Well, the one thing that you look at as we go through, you do some experimenting during this offseason. Everson is such a great athlete, and how you recognize the athletic skill set is what he did on special teams last year. And in fact, a couple games, he lined up on our punt team as the outside guy, which normally is a defensive back or a receiver, but he's a 270-pound defensive lineman that ran 4.6, that can break down in space and do a lot of things. The one thing you want to try to do, and I know our coaches are trying to identify, is because he's so talented and we do have a very good defensive line up front, is how to get our best 11 on the field. And is that utilizing Everson because of his pass rush ability in third downs, but also maybe getting him in there on their first and second downs. A lot of that will be determined, too, as we get into training camp because we did a little bit of experimenting with him last year. And when you watch some of our games last year, we used him in a joker position where there's three down linemen, and Everson stood up and kind of rushed the passer and dropped back in coverage and did some things like that. So I know Leslie and I know with our new defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, they are experimenting and doing some different things on defense because of the type of athletes that we do have.
Next is Monty Hansen, season ticket owner Monty Hansen. Hello, Monty.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I was just wondering about the status of Matt Khalil. Now that you've had a chance to look at him, is he the real deal? And Antoine Winfield, is he healthy? Is he going to be able to help? Because I know we're going to have an inexperienced secondary starting out the season.
Yeah, starting with Matt Khalil, you can see all the athletic skill set that we saw when he came out. He has the premier left tackle feet. He has what we call premier left tackle length, which means his arm length and his height to match up against the top pass rushers, especially that we have to face in this division. The one thing that we know and he's going to have to learn is the nuances of the game because he's not blocking a linebacker or a defensive end from Oregon State this week and a guy from Oregon, you're going to be blocking the best of the best because that's where everybody puts their best pass rusher. So he's going to have some growing pains, and we realize that, and it's just going to be more learning the technique, learning the nuances that those veterans know that he's going to have to know how to counter when guys come back to his inside. But the way he's worked, the way he's been in there studying film, the way that offensive line got together, I think was mentioned earlier, where John Sullivan and Phil Loadholt and Charlie Johnson, all those guys go in and watch film together every day. And he has been in there and listening to what the veterans said. And the other guy that will really help and is going to be Jared Allen in training camp because he is, the premier, if not the best, for sure the best pass rusher in the league. Now, if you're going to go against that guy every day in training camp, you're sure going to learn a lot real quickly. And I know Jared's going to be willing to help him out and give him a few tips. Antoine Winfield has had his best off season, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years. He's very healthy, looking to him playing in a lot of that nickelback role where he's going to be covering the slots with Chris Cook on the outside and Josh Robinson and Chris Carr and Brandon Burton, all those guys fighting for that other spot. We're very excited about where this young secondary is going to go. But guys like Antoine Winfield, they are so important to this football team, not only because of the veteran leadership they bring, but because of the nuances they can teach this young secondary.
This is exclusive to Vikings season ticket owners. It's a live Vikings fan forum. I'm Paul Allen. Rick Spielman, general manager for your favorite football team, is here. Likewise for team president Mark Wilf. Joining us shortly will be Lester Bagley, vice president of public affairs, and we will take your stadium-related questions for Mr. Wilf and Lester Bagley coming up here shortly. But as of right now, we're talking about the football team. It's the downtime of the year for some at Winter Park, where they just got done with a mandatory minicamp. Then everybody gets a chance to relax for a little while for a month and change. Then they start training camp late July in Mankato. And then the preseason, August 10th against the San Francisco 49ers. Next is Dave Westfall. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, yeah, hey, Dave. The question I have is that if you look across the league, the tight ends being used more aggressively, especially in New England and so on. And I wonder, and with the new setup of tight ends that we have coming in, I'm pretty confident we shored that up a little bit, that we should do really well there. Now, with that new tight end setup, and if we got somebody in your confidence-wise that we can send deep to loosen things up a little bit so that Percy and Adrian can get a chance to run the field.
Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to try to address was the tight end position and signing a John Carlson. And I know he missed last season, but what he's done in his ability to move around at multiple positions and what Bill Musgrave's trying to do on offense is if you could have sometimes two, and you may sometimes even see three tight end sets, especially with the way Red Ellison has developed and what he has shown this offseason. But John Carlson can go out and play wide. He can be a mismatch on a safety or a linebacker, which creates space inside for the running game. Also, if John Carlson is going to be a mismatch on linebackers down the seam because he can run so well, and Kyle Rudolph and what he has done this offseason and his mismatch because of his size and his ability to catch the ball. So that's why you're seeing a lot of two tight end sets, because what offensive coordinators are trying to do is create mismatches on linebackers and strong safety types.
Hey, Mr. Wilf, Mark Wilf, team president. In your offense as co-owner and team president, what do you like to see? I mean, obviously you want to win games. You want to run up and down the field and score some points. But just from a personal standpoint, since we're having this private fan forum and we're talking to season ticket owners and sponsors, what do you like to see from your offense?
Well, lots of points, but I tell you, we're big on defense. You know, as owners and fans, from our perspective, you still need that strong defense, and just that was one of the most disappointing things for us last year, was just to weaken that weak area there, and we know that you to get to the promised land, you're going to need a strong defense. So I'm excited about some of the things happening there. Our secondary is going to be a whole lot better. Of course, we have Jared Allen, a great defensive line. So I think, especially in this division, the quarterbacks that we have, that's are going to be a great offense for us. If our defense can shore up, I'm confident we'll be fine.
Wayne Perry, welcome to the Fan Forum.
Hey, PA. Hey, Mr. Spielman. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Good, good. I was just wondering, how do you guys expect Harrison Smith to perform?
Harrison is a very big safety that can run. He's a hitter. I know he had 7 interceptions his junior year. He had an opportunity for a couple last year but didn't capitalize on them. But we really got to know Harrison Smith down at the Senior Bowl, and what a great opportunity for us and our staff to be down there and coach some of these kids, because a couple of them ended up here as draft picks for us. But Harrison is a guy that we're looking forward to that not only has the ball skills, but the smarts and intelligence that you need to run the back end. And, again, he's going to be a rookie, and he's going to have to learn on the move, but we expect him to be develop into that quarterback of the defense. And I don't want to put him in a Paul Krause-type mode or anything like that, but that's kind of the things that you envision as we revamp that secondary with a lot of youth last year or this past offseason. So we're expecting a lot of big things for Harrison, and he's really, really shown a lot of promising upside to him as we went through the offseason.
One more comment for me, then one call for Mr. Rick Spielman, general manager of the Vikings. You just heard him. The Arkansas receivers, Greg Childs, Jarius Wright. From coming to all of the mini camps and also attending all of the rookie camps, couldn't get to organized team activities because of the timing, it seemed that either Leslie Frazier, Bill Musgrave, George Stewart, the wide receivers coach, specifically with Jarius Wright, they were really excited with his progression camp to camp to camp. Then at the end of minicamp, and we're not trying to call him rookie of the year here, they left really excited about Jarius. Tell us about these Arkansas receivers.
Yeah, both of them are extremely talented. You know, Jarius is a slot receiver that's going to bring us a lot of explosive playmaking ability from that position. He also has potential to be our punt returner, along with Josh Robinson and Marcus Sherrills. That would be a great battle. But we wanted to get more explosive playmakers on offense. And both those Arkansas receivers, two different types. Greg Childs is more the outside, the 6'3 vertical threat guy, where Jarius is a smaller guy underneath slot that can get the ball in his hands and create a lot of big plays in his run-after-catch ability, especially with his speed.
Fans, by the way, don't forget to come down to Mankato for Vikings training camp. We begin that later in July. Vikings.com for updates on that. Mike Wabshaw, Ryan Cardinal, the rest of the guys with Vikings.com do an awesome job with the content, be it written or spoken or video or whatever. Vikings.com for all of that. Come say hello to us in Mankato. And Mr. Wilf, Mark Wilf, team president, in closing here for you in this part, then we'll bring Lester Bagley in. As Rick Spielman, as general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, we're obviously going to see how the draft plays itself out in free agency and all that, but this is a structure scheme that you have around here that makes you proud, correct?
Yeah, it does. I just think, you know, if you look around the league and what's the successful model and developing the confidence these past 4 or 5 years in Rick and how he conducts the draft and the personnel evaluations and how he looks at things, we just felt that this is a structure that works in the league. We want to be successful, and we feel that there has to be decision-making, clear decision-making in terms of who's on the squad and what is in the best interest of the Minnesota Vikings, both short-term and long-term. And we're not about quick fixes. We want to win right away, but we also want to be competitive in the long haul, and we feel that this structure, and Rick in particular, is best suited to help make us make that happen.
Okay, final call for the fan forum. First, Rick, you have something to say?
No, I just want to encourage all the fans that to come down to Mankato this year. You'll get a chance to see a lot of these young guys for the first time, and especially in pads. And if you're down there, we're going to be down there an extra week this year. We're going to be down there for 3 weeks instead of two.
Excellent.
But that is so important for the development of this roster, especially with all these young guys and all these new faces, because just like you alluded to earlier, you've seen Jarius Wright from rookie minicamp to how quickly he came along to the end of that mandatory minicamp. And you'll see that down in Mankato. You'll see from the first day, you know, you're going to see some of these guys making some highlight-type plays, but you're also going to be seeing some mistakes. But what you want to see as you go through this, as you lead up through the preseason, to the end of the preseason, and even this builds all the way from the first game all the way down to the last game, progressively getting better each week.
Final call for Rick Spielman, Carl Pagel. Hello, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, PA?
Good. How you doing?
Fantastic. I was just wondering how the backup quarterback battle has been playing out, if Joe Webb's going to have a shot or if it's all Sage, or if something, God forbid, did happen to Ponder, who would be taking the reins?
Yeah, that'll be another battle that you want to go down and see in Mankato. Joe Webb, everybody knows, I think, what type of athlete he is and what type of excitement he brings when he's in there due to his athletic ability and his ability to scramble and make plays with his feet. Sage is totally the opposite. Sage is more of a pocket-type passer, a smart, savvy vet who knows where to get rid of the ball, knows where to throw the ball. So that'll be a nice battle to see what how that's going to play out and what the coaches feel, who's going to be our number two quarterback. Joe Webb has really progressed from, you know, going through an offseason and purely playing quarterback, but you also recognize that you want to get him on a field in some other capacities, which Bill and Leslie will discuss and figure out what's best for our organization to get the ball in his hands because he's such an explosive playmaker. But also having a guy like Sage gives you the opportunity to do some different things with Joe Webb.
Great job, Rick. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you at training camp, okay?
Thanks. Looking forward to seeing everyone down in Mankato. It's going to be very exciting.
General Manager Rick Spielman joining us on this exclusive Vikings Fan Forum. Team President Mark Wilf stays. And now we welcome into the conversation the Vice President of Public Affairs, Lester Bagley. The Vikings achieved a significant victory off the field this offseason with the passage of stadium legislation allowing for a new stadium in the downtown east neighborhood of Minneapolis. It was a 10-year discussion. The Metrodome lease had expired, and we had reached really a critical moment for the organization. We were all able to exhale and enjoy the moment when the legislation passed. And with Lester Bagley, Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development, joining us now. Lester, first of all, good afternoon. And secondly, anything new with the stadium development?
Thanks, Paul. Glad to join and glad to join our fans, and appreciate the opportunity to check in here. I'm down at the Metrodome right now. Just finished a briefing to one of the neighborhood groups, the East Downtown Council, the mayor of Minneapolis, and the new CEO of the Stadium Authority, Ted Mondale, and I briefed the group. And so, you know, what I've been struck by in this process and where we stand right now is the collaborative spirit and energy that's behind this project. We have a major project in front of us, but so far it's been great, very collaborative. It's in the early days of getting organized. As you know, the new stadium authority, the five-member authority, just was appointed. We have those are solid community leaders in their own right and business leaders, and we have good relationships with them all. Just kind of in the orientation process, they held their first meeting last week, and we have an ongoing dialogue. We've been chatting with individual stadium authority members, and as we kind of get focused on the big project ahead, we're just kind of making sure that we get organized and build a good foundation to a very difficult work product ahead.
Lester, remarks, some stadium-related calls. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tony Cost. Tony, welcome.
How you doing? I'm out in Southern California, and I thank God every day that you're not coming out here. But my question is there a website that I can look at to see the floor plan of the new stadium? Maybe there isn't a floor plan yet, but also the bathroom facilities were horrendous in the Metrodome. Are you going to eliminate the troughs?
Well, it's a little early. I'd wager to guess yes on the elimination of the troughs, but I think the point is, and I defer to Mark too on these questions. But we are in the process of getting organized, which means the Vikings are going to hire an owner's representative. That firm or individual or group of folks will help us make decisions. That group will have experience in major stadium development in this country. Also, the stadium authority is in the process of appointing and hiring their owner's representative. And together, the stadium authority plus their owner's rep, the Vikings and our owner's rep, together we'll put our heads together and select an architect. Those are kind of the next steps. And once we select an architect, then we will dig into some of the exciting things we're looking forward to, and that is the design element. So to answer your question on the website, we do have through Vikings.com a stadium page, and that will be kept up to date. The Stadium Authority has a website which can be reached at msfa.com. They're in the early stages of building that website. But as our program comes together, we'll start to have that information up and readily available to fans.
And one thing I want to assure the fans here is, you know, we're going to make sure that we're going to involve the fans in the stadium process. I know the authority wants to do that as well through surveys, email updates. So we want to hear from the fans, and I'm pretty confident on the trough issue. You're okay there. So we're going to make this a first-class fielding all the way. We know what the Metrodome is. We've been around the league. It served its purpose very well. But now it's time to be up to the 21st century, and we're gonna make it first class all the way.
Season ticket owners and sponsors, that just proves to you this is an exclusive Vikings fan forum. The team president just addressed the trough issue. You won't get that anywhere else except for with this exclusive Vikings fan forum, where if you're interested, you can press star 3 on your dial pad, and we'll do the best we can to try to get a question in for the team president, Mr. Wilf, or the vice president of public affairs and stadium development, Lester Bagley. Next, we have Scott Rydell, or Scott Rydell. Hello, Scott.
Thanks, guys, for putting the call on this afternoon, and I know we took it down to the wire with the stadium and stuff, and I got a two-part question. My first part question is, what's the timetable from that first shovel to kickoff? And my second part of the question is, how will the seating go for season ticket holders? Will you try to place us where our seats are now? I know the configuration won't be the same, or do you reapply?
Mark, if you want, I can step in first and let you close out the answer. But in terms of, the it was touch and go down the wire at the Capitol, as everybody knows who followed this and helped us. And we're very grateful to our fans, because that there was a point in this debate at the Capitol with about 3 weeks ago in the session when the public sentiment turned. The responses and the feedback the legislators we're hearing from every corner of the state and really every corner of our country to say, get this done and get this job done. And that goes back to our gratitude toward the fans who really stepped up and helped close this out. In terms of the timetable, again, you know, first things first in terms of getting a architect on board and design underway. I think in the next, the basic timetable is get the architect on board in the next 60 or 90 days, and then over the next 6 or 9 months, start to really dig in and design the facility based on fan surveys and fan feedback, as well as sponsor and other folks that help us make our decisions. It'll be collaborative between the team and the authority. We're committed to having everybody who has a seat now will be at least an opportunity to have that same seat, and we've had that preliminary discussion. We got a lock down some of the details on exactly how that what that means, but there's a commitment there that our folks that have a seat that they like, that they maybe had for many years, are going to be able to purchase that same seat.
Bottom line on the construction, probably mid-13 you'll start seeing activity out there, and wrapping up in mid-16, opening in 16.
Sheldon Siegel, welcome to the Fan Forum. Sheldon? Okay. Once again, if you press star 3 on your dial pad, there's an opportunity to ask a team president, Mark Wilf, or Lester Bagley, a question. Let's go to Sheldon Siegel. Are you back with us? Okay, let's try Sheldon?
Yes.
Oh, hey, go ahead. You're on the Fan Forum.
My question was, I was invited to partake in a focus group discussing the new stadium, and the issue of the PSL was brought up. I've been a season ticket holder for close to 50 years, and love the Vikings, have 6 season tickets. I don't want to own a piece of the stadium.
Right, and Lester here, I can address that, where we stand on the stadium builder's licenses, the SBLs, which were included in the legislation, that would be the stadium authority would have a program that could sell PSLs. Where we stand right now is we're taking a hard look at them. We are looking at the stadium builder license program. We do believe they're viable in this market, and we will be measuring our fan base and the focus group that you participated, Sheldon, in the past. We'll be having additional focus groups, some marketing and screening and interviewing of our season ticket owner base to determine what level of support there may be for the stadium builder license. But it is something that's viable, we believe. We have yet to make a final decision, but that's kind of where that stands.
Thank you for the call. Anything to add to that, Mark, or anything with the development of the stadium plan, granted in the infancy stages?
No, I think, again, we're excited about the project, and I have nothing to add to what Lester just mentioned.
Okay. Anything new on the retractable roof being an option?
Well, it's something we're going to take a hard look at. Obviously, we're going to have the kind of features that want to make it as modern as possible. I know, for instance, there was a retractable feature in Florida, for instance, at the new baseball park that has an intriguing look. We could potentially face that on the skyline. We would like to fit it in if we can, but again, it's going to depend a lot on terms of the process of interviewing architects, getting construction bids, and seeing what can fit within the budget. So our first choice, as everyone may know, is we wanted an open air, but we understand the public demand for these high-end events, and we're excited about those, and we're looking forward to it. So we're going to look for any way possible to make as many features as possible that give it a wow factor, give the fans a feeling of excitement, and make it different from the home experience. We think coming to an NFL football game is one of the best experiences a family can have, and we don't think it's as family friendly as it could have been the last few years. And we're focusing as hard as we can to make it family friendly, where people can really spend a day there and enjoy it as best they can.
Mark, in your travels around the National Football League, starting ownership of this team in 2005, what are some of your favorite stadiums?
Well, we like Indy a lot, Lucas Oil. I think it's got a great sensibility. It's got all the features, the clubs. Seattle's a great stadium. Again, that's an open air, so it's hard to use that as a model. But I would say Lucas Oil seems to have the kind of feel and touch that that we think and many others have told us would fit well in the Twin Cities. And those of you who haven't been there yet, it's kind of got a great spaces, great public spaces. We want people to have options, many options in terms of where they can gather with friends and congregate versus one monster club. Maybe you have multiple spaces where people can gather, opportunities to get as close to the players as possible. I think some of the features Dallas has, for instance, where you can watch the players come out of the tunnel. Those are the kind of things where we feel, again, we want to differentiate it from the home experience where people can feel up close and have it different than what they have at home. And that's what we're going to do in designing this building.
Okay, let's go to Timothy Johnson. Timothy Johnson, hello.
Hey, hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for having this forum. This is just fabulous. I actually have gotten my questions answered about seat relocation and seat licensing, so I just appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Hey, PA, Lester here. Let me just add on a point on the retractable and the decision-making point, just to amplify with Mark's point and our desire, ownership, and the organization's desire to have that great game day experience, which is paramount for us in our vision and for the NFL and for our fans. Regarding the retractable roof, one of the decision points that we will work through, we have a $975 million budget, and within that budget, we have to have a multi-purpose stadium, which means it has to be programmed and available for college and amateur and high school baseball. So it has to be, the geometry of a baseball field has to fit in there. It has to be programmed and available for soccer. It has to be programmed and available for basketball and final, NCAA tournaments. So what we're going to see is some of the discussions and some of the difficult negotiations and work that we're going to need to do with the team combined with the stadium authority is to make sure that the public need of having those multi-purpose events in the facility, at the same time we try to balance out what the Vikings want and what our fans need and want, which is a great game day experience, which would hopefully include a retractable feature. So we're committed, as Mark said, to trying to get that retractable feature. It's going to be a collaborative effort, a decision. We're going to go to the mat for it. If we can have a retractable window that overlooks the skyline in Minneapolis like they do have in Lucas Oil Field, if we could have the ends open up on the plaza where we're going to have a great game day gathering place in this new facility, or a roof. So some retractable feature is really important to us, but all these other items are going to drive budget, and it's going to be one of those kind of give and take discussions. And over the next 6 or 9 months, that question will be answered.
We are getting a lot of calls here, and we're running out of time with about 5 minutes to go. So just let me encapsulate the tailgating questions that you're getting. And Lester, I don't want to necessarily make it tailgating around the new facility specific, but just the amenities for the fans with the plaza and the new opportunities outside of what the new structure is going to look like.
Yeah, and Mark can add to this too. The site, you know, we're working. We're very focused on the stadium, as we've been talking about, and getting the stadium right and making it world class and iconic and a facility that fits this market and something that's special. The wow factor that Mark referred to, we're very focused on that. But outside of the stadium, there's a stadium district. There are as part of the site plan, there are additional three or four blocks that are included that will include some game day gathering space. So we're committed to having a plaza, a game day gathering space. A lot of the details need to be ironed out, but we also were able to negotiate in the term sheet as well as in the legislation is expanding tailgate opportunities and probably more toward the south. And so we'll be determined and on the lookout for expansion of tailgating, but more so the focus on the fan experience outside of the plaza. Mark?
The tailgating, we're going to look to expand it. But again, right now, fans tend to come in a minute before kickoff and they leave a minute after the game ends. And our goal is, in addition to the tailgating, because we can't accommodate 65,000 tailgaters, obviously, in an urban setting, we're going to have a massively, I wouldn't even call it improved, I would call it a brand new expanded plaza outdoor experience. Plus, we're hoping fans will come early and stay late with a lot of club and opportunities and game day plazas and in the stadium experiences. People will be in the building and have a lot more options. We're nearly doubling the size of the building. So within that doubling, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for our fans to get a game day experience in addition to tailgating. So that's the story there.
Chad Acker, welcome to the exclusive Vikings Fan Forum. Hello, Chad.
Hello. I had a question about the retractable roof, which you seem to have answered. My other question is, I've been to other stadiums where they have areas for history and great players, great moments throughout the team's past, and is that something that's going to be added to this stadium so when they do come for their game day, they can see more of that history and become more proud of their team, things like that?
Well, thanks for the question, and one of the things we're most proud of being stewards of this great franchise is the history, and we certainly will have plenty of history in the building. We're not fully concluded whether it'll be a separate enclosed Hall of Fame like Green Bay, for instance, or maybe like Kansas City has, where it's something that's in the general concourse with general displays. But the point is there'll be a significant square footage dedicated to the history of the team, the founding of the team, the intricate nature with the community. So there'll be a lot of that. And most importantly, we're going to reserve a spot for at least one and hopefully many more Lombardi trophies to display.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead, Lester.
I'm sorry, Paul. Just real quick to add on to that, because I think it's important and to acknowledge, the Viking organization, but also the Wilfs commitment. And we hear it throughout our alumni, former Vikings who have reconnected with the organization. That's something that has been very important with this ownership group from the beginning. And we've even had a chance to sit down with Sid Hartman, who has a bunch of tremendous photographs of history of the Vikings and talking about some of this, an opportunity to display some of the photos and mementos of seasons in the past and Viking greats of the history of the organization. So just wanted to echo that point. Sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, before we end the Fan Forum event, you will have the ability to leave a post-event comment upon the conclusion of this call. So, season ticket owners, sponsors, please don't hang up. This will allow you to leave any additional feedback along with the question you were going to ask if you did not have the chance to ask a live question. My live question to Team President Mark Wilf, the future at TCF Bank Stadium and the need to play at TCF Bank Stadium. Anything new on that?
Well, we're finalizing an agreement with the university. They've been very helpful and cooperative with us, and we do appreciate it. The reality is that either one or possibly two seasons will be played over there, most likely the 14 and 15 seasons. And I just want to tell our season ticket owners that's going to be an interesting and great opportunity for them as well to be outdoors, to experience football that way in a unique environment. So we encourage at the time when it comes in about a year from now, when those type of decisions have to be made, that you come out to TCF and continue to support the Vikings and bring your friends and family to as many games as you can this year. And again, it makes a big difference. In Mankato, at the Metrodome, when you guys are there and when you bring big groups there, it makes a big difference to the performance of the team. They really appreciate it, and the energy is very different. So, again, thanks for participating today and for all your support.
Nathan Kelly, hello.
Hey, it's a pleasure being on with you guys. I have just a more of a conceptual, artistic question about the stadium, and I know the planning is going to be going on throughout the next year or so, but through your feeling now and knowing, will the stadium have that authentic upper Midwest Minnesota feel to it where, so as if I walked into any stadium and wasn't told geographically where I was, would I be able to tell that, like, yeah, this is definitely a Minnesota venue?
Mark, you want to take a swing at that one?
Well, I mean, for one thing, as I said, you're going to see a sense of the Vikings, and you'll know you're in a Vikings building. We're going to have certainly branding of our team in a lot of ways, like the Colts have the seats and things of that sort, the Hall of Fame, the community involvement recognition, that'll all be there. As far as the Minnesota feel, I'm, you know, not being in the an architect myself, I know that's a sensibility that the architects have, and the Stadium Authority will also be part of this process in terms of evaluating designs and having a sense of the sensibility. Our hope and goal is to try to accomplish that. If there's anything particular in that within that feel that you have in mind, let us know, but that will be the goal.
Mark and Lester, thank you very much for joining the exclusive Vikings Fan Forum. Enjoy your off season, and we will see all of you at training camp, okay?
Thanks, PA.
See you all in Mankato. Thanks, PA.
Season ticket owner sponsors, thanks for your belief and your love in this football team. And we're really excited to watch the team beginning August 10th in the preseason game against San Francisco. Four very exciting preseason games, bookending with the Houston Texans at the end, with Buffalo and San Diego in the middle, and then we debut against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a very winnable home game. Be great to start your season 1-0. Then you go to Indianapolis, and Indy picked second in the draft last year and drafted Andrew Luck, that outstanding quarterback from Stanford. So maybe eventually Indy will be a reputable team. But you know what? It's not a bad thing to catch that team early in the season with that rookie quarterback. And, you know, we're not going to sit here on the exclusive fan forum and guarantee 2-0, but the Vikings could be favored in both of those games. And if they do win those games, then they come home for week 3 and one of the real attractive games of the season, the San Francisco 49ers here, a team that was a couple of miscues away from going to the Super Bowl last year. You know what? If you start out 2-0 and you beat the San Francisco 49ers in the third game of the season, that would make things very interesting for season ticket owners, sponsors, and all Andrew Luck, actually the first overall pick in the draft, with Washington trading up to second and taking Robert Griffin the third. Sorry for that mistake. But if you can beat the 49ers week 3 with that very good defense and start out 3-0, that makes things super intriguing for everybody. So, you know, on behalf of the Wilfs and the Vice Presidents and all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings, we thank you for your belief and your support, and we thank you very much for taking part in the exclusive Vikings Fan Forum. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you in Mankato.